John chapter 14, going to begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. Verse number 1. In verse 1 it begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let's read that one again. I kind of like that one. Amen. Are you ready for this one? "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I want you to notice those four little words in verse 6, "I am the way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much. We have the privilege this morning to be in the house of the Lord, one with another. I want to thank You for the fellowship that I have had this morning and for all of these and the wonderful blessing is ours to be able to be one with another. We thank You today for the Word of God. And Father, we thank You that You have indeed, as Jesus requested, sent the Holy Spirit of God to minister to each of us. Now, our Father, today, we know very well that we are needy, but not as needy as You know. And so we ask You today to just bless magnificently, open our hearts and our minds to Your wondrous Word, to the leadership of Your Spirit. And this day, I pray that it might be a day of salvation for some. I pray, Father, for others, those who know You, who are just not in that position of joy, do not really live in that position of realization of the fruit of the Spirit. God, I pray that this will be a day of release for them. Bless, I pray, in all that is said and done. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When our Savior, the Lord Jesus, speaks this wonderful sermon, this discourse at Olivet, the Mount of Olives, He is seeking, I believe, to calm the fears of the disciples, because we find that He had just told them about His impending death. In verse number 36 of the previous chapter, He says, Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, whither goest Thou, Jesus? Whither goest Thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, Thou canst not follow Me now, but Thou shalt follow Me afterwards." And so we find that they are concerned. And so in verse number 1, He begins this chapter by saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He's seeking to calm them. I don't know about you, but I have found throughout life that my Savior is wonderful in seeking to calm the fears that come in to this preacher's life. I find that He is one who is seeking to take me all the way through and to guide me in this life. Though He should die, He wants them to have their attention drawn to what He's going to do on their behalf. And so He says in verse number 3, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." I find from study of the Word of God, there are two things that my Savior is doing at this moment. One of those is He is interceding in my behalf. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that because I find that I am constantly falling off the path and needing the Savior there to pull me back in. I also find from this passage that He is in the preparation business. He is building a place for us. Now, let me ask you a question. If God took 6 days to put all of what we see into existence, and it's taking 2,000 years to prepare a place for you, What is this going to be like? I mean, consider that for a moment. What is this going to be like? And He tells us and promises us that if He is doing that, He will come again. And He will receive us unto Himself. Now, that's exciting news. And then in verse 4, He explains to them that they know the way to the Father's house. But then we have Thomas. And Thomas says to Him, "We don't know that way." He says, "We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Thomas, like so many of us, hear it over and over, but we do not listen carefully. And so Thomas, he asked this really kind of dumb question, but I'm glad he asked the question. Because Jesus answers with one of the great verses in all the Word of God, and He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I want us to stop and think about the fact that Jesus makes it very plain today. He is the way. He is the way. Let's understand, first of all, today, we're not talking about the Bible and Bible reading being the way. He is the way. Now, the Bible points us to Christ. Prayer is not the way, though we ought to pray. He is the way. Church attendance is not the way, though we ought to go to church. He is the way. We need to keep this straight in our hearts and our minds today. Jesus Christ is the way. He makes it very plain. The early Christians, I find from the book of Acts, referred to their life as the way. 6 times in the book of Acts, it talks about it. In chapter 9, verse 2, it says that if he found any of this way, here we find the Apostle Paul, before he saved, referring to those of this way. We find in chapter 24, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy." And he is saying, that is the way that I followed. Last week we talked about Jesus as the door. And I want to get a picture in your heart and your mind today. Jesus as the door shows us a way, or the way, through the barrier of sin. Now, let me take a poll this morning. Is there anybody here that has never sinned? Would you please stand up, because we want to really laugh. Let me ask you this. You have sinned in your life. Let me ask you this morning, because I believe this is important. Most folks, they will admit, "Well, I'm a sinner." But can you think of any specific sins that you've committed, perhaps even today or yesterday? Can you raise your hand? Okay. Those who have their hand unlifted, you have just committed perjury. You have lied on the witness stand, because you did. You say, "How do you know that?" Because you're human. You have a propensity to sin. We all are in that shape. And so we sin against God. There's a barrier between us and wondrous fellowship with God, and that is sin. We find that barrier shown to us when Jesus said, "I am the door. I am that which is the doorway, the gateway into fellowship with God." And the way to fellowship with God is through that barrier of sin. And He is that door. Here we find that Jesus is pictured as the way. Now let's get this in our minds just a little bit. I believe what we find is, we put those two pictures together, we find that we go through the barrier of sin into that place of fellowship with God. Now this is not the parlor room. That is back in verse 3, all right? This is not the parlor. This is not the living room. This is not where we sit down and we just do nothing. Because the Lord tells us that when we're still in this world, we are to occupy. We have a job to do. And so when we walk through the door, when we go through the barrier of sin, we are now entered not into a room, but we are entered into a highway. We are into a place that we are going to walk like the Emmaus road, with arm in arm with a disciple, as they did on that road. Jesus is the door. He is the way through the barrier of sin. But now, as we go through that barrier, we find that we have entered the door and we come to the road. There's a book out many years ago. Many of you have read it. It's a classic by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. It's a story of Pilgrim as he follows the highway of life and all the problems that he comes through. And so you and I, we enter the door that is Christ. We come to the straight and the narrow way, which is also the Lord Jesus Christ. This road runs through swamps. It runs through deserts and prairies and mountains. We find off to the side of ravines, we find rivers, yea, even oceans that we can come crashing into. And all of these, this road takes us through that straight and narrow on the pathway unto the Heavenly Father. Unless we follow that straight and narrow, we find within our lives that we are bogged down. We are stuck in a rut and we're unable to move. And there seems to be oftentimes a well-beaten path off of that road, they always lead us to the wasteland. Now I want us to stop this morning and think about this picture. Jesus says, I am the way. We pass through the door, that barrier of sin. We have accepted Christ as our Savior. We got a path to follow, and that path is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place of fellowship with Him, walking with Him. It is headed through all the problems and turmoils and so forth of life. And as we look at this path, let's understand, I want us to look at three different aspects. First of all, it implies that there is a walk. If there's a path, there's something to walk. It does not imply that we sit down. God did not save us to sit. Some folks say, well, God saved us that we might rest. No, we're to rest in our salvation. That means we are to feel assured with that salvation. It does not mean we lay down. He saves us to go through the door that we might enter the highway, that we may begin our journey with our Savior. We enter into the door, but it opens to this road. My Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Colossians 1:10 says, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is a walk which is going to lift us up above the surrounding wilderness. All we have to do is cross over the street out here and climb over the fence, and you're going to climb a little incline to get up onto the highway we call the freeway. And in order to get there, you must go upward. It is raised up that it might be away from all of that which can enter into the vehicle and cause the problem. And the walkway of God is that which is above the surrounding wilderness, and it gives us safety through all the storms of life. Let me take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 35, verse 8 and 9. And here we find it says, an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not enter therein. No lions shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Now I want you to notice something about that pathway. He says that the elevated pathway, it is that which is away from all the corruptions and that which is seeking to destroy in this world. It says that it is not for those who are unclean. But understand, it does not say it is not for those who were never unclean, because it says it is for those who've been redeemed. It is for those who have had their sins cleansed. It is for those whom God has died, and God has given us this wonderful thing called the way that we can walk. God's people have a problem. They believe that this way is hard. Number two, the way is easy. The way is easy. Let me read you Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. He goes on, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When he says my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's not talking about sitting on the couch. He's talking about going in a direction. He is talking about an operation within our lives. But he's saying that that yoke is easy. Now, one of the reasons easy, because a yoke has two sides and Jesus is the better puller of the two. And it's easy because all we got to do is just stay with Him and He's going to do the pulling. But let's understand something today. Though we believe the Scriptures, this is not what we really view as far as the Christian walk is concerned. You and I, most of our lives, believe that the Christian walk is very difficult. I hear it from the lips of so many of God's people saying, it is so hard. But I want to tell you something today. The Bible does not give to us a struggle gospel. It is not a gospel of struggle. Jesus did the struggle on the cross of Calvary. Oh, we get into this life and we say it's so hard. We have our eyes upon the celestial city. But we're so often in the ditch. We're all so often off the side of the road somewhere. We have any hunters in the group? You like to go out hunting? Got a few here. You do some hunting? Most of my hunting through my life has been hunting pheasants. And one of the best places I've actually found to hunt pheasants along the roadside. Because at night they come in, they will nest there because there's gravel there and they need that for their crawl and, you know, their digestion system. Aren't you glad you don't have to eat rocks in order to live? And so they'll be along the roadsides. And I'm telling secrets. When my boys were growing up, we'd get out and we'd see a ditch. And we'd, boy, there's going to be some pheasants in this ditch. And I would tell them, you guys go down there and walk along through there. Because you walk through there, you just might kick up a pheasant. And I'm going to be up here on the roadside because after all, Dad's old and he needs some help. And put them down in that ditch. They're your dogs. Honest to goodness, first time I ever went hunting, many of you know Ed Stackhouse. Many of you knew my father-in-law, Harold Love. And many of you knew Pastor Proud. And I was the fourth one, never been hunting in my life. And we come to this place, and they see a bird off in this big field. And so we get out of the car, and they go over this way. And they say, Springer, you go over there. Just walk through those weeds over there. I didn't know. I was the dog. But I do want you to know this. I scared up the pheasants and all three of those guys shot at it and missed and I got it. God's good, amen? And there's been times in later years I got a dog. A real dog. And if you go outside and look over the back of my yard, you might see that dog. It's a hunting dog. And it's a golden lab. But this hunting dog's absolutely useless for hunting. And you fire a shell and the dog comes and gets behind me and crouches down. Absolutely useless. Never has ever snaked out a bird for me. And what happens if I'm out with that dog? I'm walking in the ditch. The dog is up on the road. Tell you the truth.
I know what it is like down in the ditch. And it's a place you can stumble. I'm going the same direction. I'm alongside of the path. But the weeds are high. And sometimes there's stones down there, and sometimes there's holes down there. And I have tripped and I have fallen in those places before. Not a good idea with a shotgun in your hand. I say that to say this. That's where we as God's people too often are walking. And the reason we're saying it's hard is because we're along in the ditch. Rather than make Christ the way, far too often we say the way to Christ by doing. We think as God's people, if we're going to get close to Christ, then I need to pray more. Now, nothing wrong with prayer, and please, I hope we understand this as we go through. But we think the way to Christ is to pray. We think that, my goodness, I haven't been reading my Bible enough. And the preacher, he got on Bible reading. I just haven't been reading enough. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And listen, I just need to read my Bible that I might get closer to Christ. I've seen from the Word of God that He loves those who love souls. So I need to be witnessing and I need to go witnessing. And so I'm going to witness. I'm going to try much harder. I understand that I need to be in the house of the Lord because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And I've seen that and what's happened in lives. And boy, I'm just going to go to church all the time every time I see the doors open. And we ought to do those things. And we think sometimes, listen, the Christian life is all about fellowship. So I'm going to make sure I just talk to this one and talk to that one. And I'm going to try to fellowship myself closer to Jesus. But do you understand today, these have no answer to sin. They reveal our sin of self-striving. As God's people, we too often try to get close to God by doing these things. And what we find is we never quite measure up. And in actuality, those things often bring us under condemnation. And we sit in a church service and we hear about these things and we think, oh my goodness, I'm not doing well enough. I'm far away from Jesus. But they're not the way. He is the way to them. He is the way to prayer. He is the way to Bible reading. He's the one that makes it come alive. He is the one who makes witnessing a pleasure because He's so real to us. Understand, there's a difference. And we get off of the path and we travel that place down in the greater ditch. We get our sights off of that which we ought to have them upon. Many years ago, my brother had told me about these, but I'd never seen one. And we were coming down the mountainside, and as we were coming down the mountainside, I was kind of looking to mountains up ahead, and I brought my eyes back to the road. And I looked, and I thought, oh my goodness, the road has lost its pavement. And right and straight in front of me was the road as it went on up, and it now was all of a sudden rocks. And because I had not been watching the road closely, I realized all of a sudden the railroad went off to the side. And because my eyes were off of the road, I almost took the runaway path that they put in the mountains for trucks. That is full of sand that it might slow them down because their brakes have given out. And had I kept my eyes in that place, it had been very soon I would have been stuck in sand up to the axle of my car. And that's the way it is in our life far too often. Brethren, the way back onto the path is not to begin reading your Bible more, not to pray more. The way back to the path is to simply go back through the door. The way back on the path is to confess our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, because confession and cleansing is where it is all at. Understand something today. Many folks, they believe in order to become very spiritual, they're going to have to do this and this and this and this. This and become very spiritual. It is simply confess your sin.
go through the door and get on the highway and begin following the Lord Jesus Christ, arm in arm with Him. It's a matter with Him. And the way we get there is through confession of the sin. And it might have to be the confession of doing stuff that looks spiritual. It might have to be because we are trying to draw near to God through doing stuff as opposed to being willing to confess. Do you know what perpetual revival is? Many of God's people, here's what happens to us. We love to go to camp because at camp we find so many of our young folks, they get their hearts right with God, they come back, they're all excited, and 4 or 5 weeks later, it begins to wane, it begins to go downhill, and then there's something else happens, and boy, they get things right, and then pretty soon it begins to go downhill. The problem is that we humble ourselves now and then, and willing to confess to God. But the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. It's a matter of constant humility before God as those things happen in our lives that we might confess, that we might go back through that doorway, we might be on the highway to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we ever swerve off the highway? We do quite often. But the way back is through confession. And when we confess our sins to God and we're drawn close to Him, listen, now prayer becomes a living thing. It is vibrant in our lives. Reading the Bible, now it comes alive. It's not a matter, I have to, and I'm really trying, God, and I'm struggling with. No, we want to. Confession and cleansing brings us through the entrance once again. Listen to this in the book of Hebrews chapter 19. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. This living way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. It's not something difficult. It is a matter of confession. Is a matter of letting Christ take us through. But we struggle and we struggle and we struggle. He is the way. Brother Chris, I appreciated so much the message you had in Sunday school because you was talking about the fact that we just need to let go of our will and allow that to be what? Intertwined within the will of God. Because so often we're going crossways. What a great illustration. So simple. But I don't know if I'll ever forget that. But we're crossways. When all we need to do is confess that and be meshed with God. He said, I am the way. I want you to notice there, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way that we are to go is well lit. Have you ever driven with the lights off at night? And the moon wasn't out. You weren't going very fast, were you? We like for the lights to be on. We like to have the headlights on. We appreciate when we go into those lighted areas. And the way I believe that is through the Lord Jesus Christ is a lit way. It is lit with the truth of God. And it is that which brings life to us. On that Emmaus road, on that resurrection day, they were fellowshipping with the Lord. And as they fellowshiped with the Lord, He unfolded truth to them that gave them real life. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us in the way? And there is where you and I need to go. As we're willing to confess that sin. To keep in that continuous humility, repentance, walking in the light of life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you notice there? If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. It's not fellowship to get in the light. It is because we're in the light of God. And we don't get it. And from time to time, we get things right with God and we think, oh my goodness, I humbled myself and I really went through this thing and my, it's wonderful walking with the Lord. And we don't realize the next day we need it again.
that humility where we're willing to submit our wills unto the Lord, that we might be where in the way. Jesus is the way. There is none other. Anytime the way becomes what we are doing or what we have experienced, we need to remember that He is the way and repent. It's not us, it's Him. How do you get into the way? You got to go through the door. What's the door? It's repentance. The door is Jesus Christ. And He's the door that we can go through when we're willing to turn from our sin and turn to Him. Realizing we have a barrier that's cut us off. But when we enter that door, it's not into a place of luxury. It's into a place of blessed fellowship, walking with the Lord. But as we're walking down that way, we are so prone, because of the fleshly nature that we have, to see this or that and to veer off of that way. But let me tell you something, there's always a door there that we can get back on the way. There's always a re-entry point. Aren't you glad of that? And we have that wonderful privilege. You say, well, that sounds like you're making an excuse for sin, and you are putting there an opportunity for folks to just say, well, it's a license to sin. There's never a license to sin. And to be in that way is always a life of holiness. But thank God, He is willing to forgive us when we have become unholy, and to bring us back into that blessed place of fellowship with Him. Where are you at today? Where are you at? Are you down in the ditch? Are you out in the swamp somewhere, stuck and mired down? Are you in the heat of the desert going through some torrential things? Tell you what, the entrance back is nearer than you think. It's called repentance. It's just admitting your sin to God and letting Him cleanse you. My Bible tells me if any man confess to Him, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? All of it. The key is confession. That's the key. Are we willing to admit what we've done? It's not a matter, Christian, of saying, oh God, please forgive me my sins yesterday. No. Confession of your sins. That means individual ones. Realizing, I've done this wrong, I've done that wrong, I've done the other thing wrong. By the way, so a lot of people don't get saved because they, I'm a sinner, but do not really recognize their sins particularly. Do not realize, as Chris said this morning, how big a deal it is what we have done wrong. But God's there to forgive. Amen. Father, today I pray You'll work in hearts. Oh God, only You can do that. I pray, Father, that those who are here today who've seen the Christian walk as hard, as difficult, who've struggled and struggled, might realize they just need to confess. They need to bring it to You. And You're the one that puts them back on the highway of life. Lord, You're the one who makes the path easy, the burden light, as we walk with You. Oh God, today I pray that You help us realize that that way is lighted. It's not the darkness of this old world. It's not down there in the mire where we oftentimes can't even see the trouble we're in. Oh God, today I pray You'll work in hearts. There are no doubt Christians that are here today who are struggling when they need to just trust, when they need just to confess and allow You to bring holiness back into their life. I pray, Father, for the lost one today that needs to enter the door of salvation. God, work in these hearts. Do that which only You can do. For I pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please.